www.radio.org.au.
Listen live.
Play back your favourite shows.
And see track info live
with our 89.7 FM app.
Just search your app store.
Conversation, community, and of course, coffee. In Good Company with Lisa and Lou, Thursdays 9 till 12 on 89.7 FM.
It's 5 minutes past 10 here in Good Company with Lisa and Lou, and we've got an in-studio guest, Tristy Fairfield from Low Carbon Australia, who is a climate change expert. Good morning.
Morning, Tristy.
Good morning, Lisa and Lou. Thanks for inviting me in.
You're welcome.
Brilliant. All right, Tristy, so you're part of a global leadership initiative, and it's called Homeward Bound. What is Homeward Bound, and why did you decide to get involved?
So Homeward Bound is this really amazing initiative started by a woman called Fabienne Dattner, who actually had a dream about women going to Antarctica to work, to collaborate and work on climate change issues. And Fabienne's vision was that women were stepping up to the leadership table and that changes were happening across the community and across society because of women taking leadership roles. And she was quite frustrated by the lack of action on climate change, and she really felt that women's leadership styles in particular would lend themselves to addressing those issues more broadly. And she also felt that women in STEM, so science, technology, engineering, medicine and mathematics, were underrepresented at the leadership table. So she really wanted to help those women step into leadership and become more comfortable with leadership, with a view to more effective communication and those feminine styles becoming more more prevalent, I suppose, in our
Women add a different dimension for sure in the way that we do things. We do different things, do things differently to males. So, yeah, really important not to be underrepresented.
So what led you to get into climate change as a career, Tristy?
Oh, no, that's a very good question. So I was one of those people who was really lost. I was at university in the 80s. It was the greed is good 80s. It was Gordon Gekko. It was Wall Street. It was racquetball and striped shirts. And that was not me. I was a bit of a hippie kid. I was a surfy chick. I really liked bushwalking. But for some reason, I became convinced to do a commerce degree, which was a great degree. Nothing against commerce degrees. It was very useful. But it certainly didn't stir my passion. It wasn't aligned with my values. And so after I graduated, I was just really lost. Everyone was going to work on the terrace and the big four then accounting firms, and I was like, oh, what am I going to do? Because it just didn't resonate. So it led to, I guess, about a decade, what I would call in the wilderness, but it wasn't actually the wilderness. I was teaching English in Japan, and I was working as a nanny in London and in bars and restaurants. The usual stuff, the gap decade, let's call it. But I just didn't have that resonance with my values. And I think we all know how that feels when you just don't have that connection with your values. And I was just searching for it. And finally, and I'd been as a kid quite into nature and biodiversity and, you know, the great African wilderness and so forth. But at one stage, and I was in my late 20s, when I finally kind of went, I really have to sort this out. And I just started a real search. And it was reading through an Australian Conservation Foundation magazine. And I just felt that ping, you know, that
Something lit up inside you.
That's my thing. So I was working in this awful job in an insurance company with some fairly challenging people. And I got involved in the environment movement properly. So I started volunteering. I took a day off a week out of this job to go and volunteer at the ACF when I was, you know, I was almost 30 and I was quite happy photocopying and, you know, just doing whatever needed to be done because I'd found my thing and I just needed to find my way in. So that led me to working, eventually getting a proper job at an activist group called Friends of the Earth, which was such a mile away from doing commerce at UWA in the 80s that you can't begin to imagine. But that meant that we were all hands on deck. So I was the accounts manager and the office manager, and I did all the accounts. I got us ready for the GST, all that stuff that my background would, you know, set me up for. But we also did all the campaigning, and so I got the job of doing this, the Friends of the Earth submission into the ratification of the Kyoto Protocol in the late 90s. And because no one had climate change campaigners back in those days. And as I began to research, you know, stuck in this little office with the evaporative air cooler blowing in while we tried to keep cool, you know, the pennies were dropping, and I was like, goodness me. Oh, my goodness, you know, and just learning all of these things about climate change and how long we'd known about it since at least 1988 was when the global community acknowledged that it was a problem. And there's just no way back after that. It was just this is my thing. And then here I am, 20
fabulous.
Years later.
So we're chatting in studio with Tristy Fairfield from Low Carbon Australia, climate change expert. So you, after a career in a completely different field, you suddenly sort of realised you're in your dream job at the forefront of climate change. So how does that lead to what you're doing now?
So I guess what I try to do is, and I encourage other people to do when I'm lecturing and so forth, is think about how do you, your skills and experience to date, how do you bring those best to whatever you're planning to do or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So at an early stage in life or career or experience, that's obviously going to be different as you know more and you learn more and you have more experience and you can bring different things. So I did quite a few years as an activist and campaigner with Friends of the Earth in Melbourne and then the Conservation Council of Western Australia and the ACF, the Australian Conservation Foundation, here in WA. And that was great. We did a lot of work, particularly around coal-fired power, when there was discussions about what the new power station in WA was going to be. And that led me to be offered a role in government when they were setting up the first Office of Climate Change.
And that background in commerce was perfect for that.
Yes, look, it's never been a waste. Yeah. It's never been a waste. It's certainly something I tell people that... You need to know where the money is and how it's being spent and who's going to make it and
very
lose it.
Wise. Follow the money.
Follow the money, absolutely. So I worked in government. I worked in a small consulting company. I worked for a mining company. I've worked for a small cap ASX listed renewable energy company. And now, with all that sort of breadth of experience, now I like to kind of do multiple things, which led me to set up Low Carbon Australia because it gives me the flexibility that I like and a bit of more of a free rein to take opportunities as they come and respond.
Generally, there's mixed reactions when you hear the words climate change with people. For some people, there's a sense of apathy, like what can we do? What's the point kind of apathy? What suggestions might you have for them, like things that normal everyday people can do that might make a difference? So some suggestions that might be helpful.
Yeah, look, that's such an important point. And that eco-anxiety, I mean, it's real and it can get really overwhelming and really sad. So you have to, I mean, that's what I always try to bring is what can we do? What's the positive? What's the upside? And at an individual level, it really is such a range and it depends on your life stage and, you know, the other things that are going on in your life. So at a personal level, there's some really simple but effective things you can do, particularly around one of the things I think is really effective is moving your superannuation. Because talk about following the money.
Good grief.
Moving your superannuation into ethical investment which doesn't invest in fossil fuels, because really, at the end of the day, it's all about where people are investing their money. Are we investing in renewables? Are we investing in fossil fuels?
That really is a big picture, yeah.
But it's easy. You just fill in a form, you know. So it's not particularly complicated. But if we all move our investment into ethical investments, then that's a really powerful thing that we can do.
Yeah.
The other thing is supporting... what I hear a lot is, well, the politicians should do more, government should do more, corporations should do more, but they're only doing what we expect. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the reason that politicians don't go harder on climate change is because they, and quote unquote, from an unnamed source, it's electoral suicide. Mm-hmm. You know, they will just get, leaves them wide open to being criticised. And nobody, you can't do anything if you're not in power, right?
Yeah.
You can do
absolutely
nothing. So I would say support the political actions on climate change and use your either consumer power, your shareholder power and so forth and your investment power to support ethical investment.
Fabulous. What about everyday tips, Tristy, around our use of energy and how we can make a difference?
Look, there's so many opportunities there and there's some really cool little sort of apps and stuff that can support you, and I'll give a plug to Climate Clever, which is a WA-based app that you can easy to download, easy to use. You put in your Synergy account, your gas account, and you can track your energy use. So and things like your transport. So that's definitely worth downloading and installing, and it's free in certain some of the local councils have supported that. So if you're in Stirling, I know, and I'm sure there's many more, you can download it for free.
What was it called again?
Climate Clever.
Wow.
And so the biggest user for most people is their electricity.
Yes.
So you can sign up to Green Power. That's, again, you get onto the Synergy website and tick a box. You can switch it all over to Green Power and it's not that much more expensive. Mm-hmm. You can look at installing solar panels depending on your energy use patterns and obviously your finances, whether you rent. Transport is another big one. So if you can reduce, you know, even one trip. I mean, we're Perth, it's a very car-based city.
Yeah.
But even one trip to the shop to try and double things up, you know, make one trip to Bunnings and to the shop and to the petrol station can make a difference.
Being cleverer.
Yep. A classic that we find in household audits is the old bar fridge as well. I know that sounds really funny, but the second fridge in the shed that's often like one of those bad old energy efficient ones, they use a lot of power.
Oh.
So, and then simple things like, you know, managing when you use your aircon, shading your house. Really, the big opportunities, new home builds as well.
Like trying to make design.
That's right.
You were talking about simple apps that you can use. I noticed on Spotify that the Water Corp have put a playlist out of shower songs, songs that are the right length for you to have a shower.
I love it.
Bit of a nudge, like time to get out of the shower because the song's finished.
That's great. I didn't know that. I'm going to look at that. Absolutely, and I really like when people are proactive and creative, and you know, it's fun. You know, you can make things a bit more, as you said, it's away from the apathy and the disempowerment, and into what can I do? This is possible. This is the opportunity. We've all got to get on board.
And these things, all of them, make a difference. All added up and layered up together, don't they? On a mass scale.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's more. A friend of mine was doing a diet, and he was like, "It's not a diet; it's a lifestyle change." And I sort of think the same thing. It shouldn't be onerous. It should just be the way that we live our lives.
What about the message that we can share with our children in terms of hope for the future? My three girls are young adults, but they feel this deep sadness about the planet and the environment. And, you know, we've had a good life and, you know, used up a lot of energy and so forth. So what is the message that we can share with young people? It's a tricky one, isn't it?
Well, the intergenerational equity issue is really important, and we have to reflect on our role and what we've done. But look, there is so much change that's happening, and I've seen good change and bad change over the 20 years of my career. But on the good side, 20 years ago, there was no way that shareholders were insisting that companies reduce their emissions. You know, all of the big banks are, well, not all of the big banks, but the main banks like the Reserve Bank and so forth are definitely calling out the risks of climate change. Major economies are saying that there'll be net zero by 2050. Most of the our trading partners in particular have got net zero by 2050 targets. So there's cause for optimism. I have to say the young people have driven a lot of that because they've been so incredible in their campaigning. So look, the world is changing quickly, and it's changing for the better.
And you are a fabulous campaigner, Tristy Fairfield. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about the work that you've been doing?
So my website is lowcarbonaustralia.com.au, and there's a contact form on there, and I'd love to hear from anybody about a range of issues.
Thank you so much for joining us in the studio. You're in good company with Lisa and Lou. It's 18 minutes past 10.